lot of talk about cleaner coal. The federal government looks like changing some of the rules from its green bank so it can fund new generations, new types of coal-fired power. Carl Mallon joins us. He's Director of Science and Systems at Climate Risk. Carl, good afternoon.
G'day, Raph.
Cleaner coal, is it viable?
Well, you put the emphasis on cleaner, and it's cleaner than the coal that we've got running at the moment. The key problem is that really, as the world starts to head down an emissions trajectory to essentially solve climate change, then the role of coal starts to really become diminishing because it's not clean enough to meet most of the emission objectives that are on the table now.
We will be part of the mix for a while. I suppose the question is it a good idea to throw some government money at it to help with things like baseload? Not be the only solution, but to help with?
Look, I think all of this is a little bit of a bit of a red herring because there was a statement put out from APRA, which is the regulator of banks and insurers, and that was put out last week. And what they warned basically the banks and the institutional investors was that they have to prepare for policy changes around climate change. And the insurers are worried about direct risks, you know, from more extreme events, but the banks are very exposed to investments in things like powered plants. And what they're saying is you can't start putting money into high-emission technology and then start crying foul when the policy changes because it's pretty obvious that's the way things are going. So what they're saying is you've got to look after the interests of your investors to make sure that you're putting money into sensible projects. And what I think we're going to see is we're going to see the banks saying, well, we're not going to put money into coal because coal doesn't really have a place in a low-carbon future. Mm. And that really says...
Can I stop you there, Carl? Because maybe if you don't think the banks are going to fund it, maybe it doesn't make any difference. If the government changes the rules around the Green Bank, the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, maybe that doesn't matter. If no one funds it, no one funds it. At least they've got the option on the table.
It's an interesting one because I think to some extent you're right, which is the Green Energy Finance Corporation really is there to be an anchor investor to get stuff up. Now, what you've got to watch out for, though, is that if they skew the viability in a way that is, if you like, distorts the market so that a plant that would normally not get up gets up ahead of something else. So that's what you've got to watch out for because that money comes very cheap. And so what you could have is one plant's having to go commercially and the other plant funded by government money is going non-commercially. So this is really why sort of, you know, meddling in the market's not a good idea. Best to let, you know, if you like, set the rules of emissions and then let the market work it out.
So much I could ask you, but how do we get the gas-fired power at in South Australia and whatever coal-fired power that is not being used, how do we encourage that to be both cleaner and more available? I mean, the gas power we've got, we can't even get when we need.
Yeah, look, I reckon you put your finger on it there because a lot of what's happening now, there's been a bit of a, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, you know, it was renewables that was the problem. You know, in principle, that's how it's meant to be structured, which is that you have things like gas and coal that are there to back up the system when you need it, and you pay them extra for the time they're sitting there idle. So they still get their money. But essentially, you're potentially keeping those sorts of plants online to back the system up. Now, really, it does look like the market operators may have dropped the ball on that one by not really realizing that some of the gas plants weren't ready to roll. They were supposed to be. There was spinning reserve in place that some are saying wasn't called on. So it does look like, that, in a sense, someone dropped the ball when the system was supposed to work. And look, the bottom line is we're seeing a transition here. In the short term, keeping existing plants like gas and coal running makes sense because we need the baseload and the backup when we need it. But we're also seeing the big heavyweights like Tesla really pushing for standalone storage. So storage in households is going mad at the moment. People can't get enough of it. The price of big storage is dropping through the floor compared to what it used to be. So I reckon, you know, within 10 years, we're going to see in a, you know, low-cost storage so that we won't be needing backup. We'll just be shoving renewable energy into batteries and then drawing it at night or when it's cloudy or when it's not windy. You know, I think we'll start to see that. It's already happening, really.
Start buying your shares in lithium mining companies. Carl, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Raf.
Carl Mallon is Director of Science and Systems at Climate Risk. Lithium, of course, one of the key substances inside batteries. Dean Stewart at the Bureau.